This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
As a person that's about to get on an airplane, take a little break from life, I'm a little freaked out by all the airplane incidences that have been happening lately, including the most recent, the Delta flight from Minneapolis to Toronto that crash landed. Thank God everyone's alive, but the plane turned upside down. It burst into flames. It's amazing that no one is dead from this crash. And listen to this survivor who's just so thankful to be alive.
No. Oh, my God. Yo, I was just on this plane. Oh, my God. Yo, I was just on this plane.
The disbelief, like, he can't believe that that just happened, which is, I think, what most of us would be thinking, like, is this real?
We're in Toronto. We just landed. Our plane crashed. It's upside down. Fire department's on site. Upside down. Everybody... Most people appear to be okay. We're all getting off. There's some smoke going on.
So that is obviously one of the passengers standing outside his plane, which is upside down.
I know. We shared the video on John and Tammy's Facebook. That's why he made the recording as he was walking away from it. It's wild.
All the accounts of this crash are wild.
It is like on our side and then flipped over on our back. So where we ended up, there was like a big fireball out the left side of the plane. We kind of let ourselves go and fell to hit the ceiling, which is surreal feeling. And then everybody was just like, get out, get out, get out. We could smell like jet fuel.
I don't even know if I could ever even go to an airport, let alone fly in an airplane after experiencing something like that.
Well, I would see in my mind, this is my take on it, how I feel, that you just went through something that most people never will. So your odds are pretty good that it's never going to happen again.
I guess it's a really logical way of thinking about it. Me is like, nope, I'll drive. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I have to drive to Europe. I'll figure out a way. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, I'll figure it out. What I'm blown away about more than anything in this story, more than the fact that this happened, that the plane went upside down, that no one got killed. I mean, minor injuries. It's miraculous. It's shocking. But the most thing that stands out for me is just the calm demeanor of the air traffic controllers describing it as it happens.
This airplane just crashed at 23. Flight 1 minute back. I got no traffic here, so just let me know what you'd like to do. We just had a crash on runway 23 here.
Yeah, we've got it. The aircraft is upside down and burning.
I mean, they're sounding like they're talking about what happened on TV last night.
But that's what they have to do. If they were screaming and freaking out.
Maybe me. Maybe me.
At 8:30 this morning, we're actually going to have someone in studio who was a flight crew member for many years and what it's like, because those are the real heroes in this whole situation, because the plane's upside down, the pilot can't do anything, it's up to the crew to make sure that everybody gets out and is safe.
John and Tammy, San Diego's Morning Show on KSON.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
So I was texting with a friend of mine, Curtis. He's a pilot, and we were talking about the whole situation that happened in Toronto.
In case you don't know what that's about, a Delta flight from Minneapolis crash-landed in Toronto. Actually, the plane went upside down, caught on fire. Everyone's alive, few injuries.
So I was just texting with my friend Curtis about it, and he said, obviously, I can't say to what caused it or what happened. But when the actual crash happened, the pilots aren't really doing blank. Well, the plane is upside down, so the pilot can't do anything. And he mentioned 100% of the credit goes to the cabin crew evacuating everyone quickly and safely.
So
and
anybody can talk to a pilot, Scott.
Yeah, yes.
But frankly, they can't talk to us.
Right.
Especially about something like this. But you used to be a member.
I was a flight attendant,
You were a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. So can you first of all, can you verify that what he says is in fact true? Is the sole responsibility of the passengers at that point your responsibility?
Yeah. If you're cabin crew, the first thing you would do is put on a new pair of pants.
Yes.
Because I promise you that they were absolutely freaked out.
Sure.
And typically you do wait for the captain to tell you to evacuate the plane. You're trained for that.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, you're upside down, you're just getting off the plane. Because I assume that the communications are gone. And the biggest part, the thing that people don't really understand, you know when they say, do the cross check and arm the doors?
Mm-hmm.
Arming the doors is simply making sure that the slide is ready to deploy.
Oh, interesting.
And so there's a big, it almost looks like an old-fashioned electric lever that you push down, and what you're doing is you're literally arming the door. There are little charges on the bolts that will explode and pop off, and then the slide will shoot out the side of the plane.
Wow.
The thing that I noticed, by the way, you don't go through training and learn how to evacuate the plane upside down. Now, there's training for water, so you're trained on pushing people with your arms out to the front of the plane. But when you're upside down, my first thought was the slides didn't deploy. So did they have to disarm?
Oh, yeah, because they're going to come out the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're going to come up on top of everybody.
If those slides deployed, they would literally be on top of everyone. So I just don't know what happened. You can't train for that. And it would be your responsibility immediately to get everybody off. I'm not allowed to say where I used to work, but I know that how those people on that plane were trained.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you heard them repeating, leave everything, get out. Everything, get out. You just repeat that.
Because people don't listen.
No, they try to get their carry-on bags. And I know a lot of people are in shock. You're just grabbing and going, no, get off the plane. This is why there's nothing in the aisle.
Our boss, Scott, before he was our boss, long time before, he was a flight attendant, a member of the cabin crew. So obviously you just said you've never had any kind of training for this. What is the most, I don't want to say afraid, but concerned you were on a flight?
Anytime that there would be smoke in the cabin.
Oh, jeez.
Okay? Which doesn't only one flight. I remember where it was. I was on my way to Toronto, and I happened to be flying one of the mechanics that I knew really, really well. I smelled what I thought was smoke, and it could have been an oven. It could have been a little piece of something that was left in there, and it concerned me. So very cool. Very cool. I would say, hey, man, can you come up here? I want to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he's a mechanic, he may not know exactly what's going on. I was like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
And we were both trying to figure it out. And he says, I think it's just the heater. I think it's okay. And we called the captain, and they did checklists and everything. Fire in the cabin is the thing that you're most afraid of.
So there's 80-plus people that are alive today due to the flight crew.
The
cabin crew.
You bet. And I want to say again, because I do this every time I fly, I look around to see who's paying attention to when they're talking, and nobody is.
Yeah.
This is why you just, and I know we've all heard it 100 times, but it doesn't matter. It kind of solidifies it in your mind again, that if they're saying something you need to do, you need to pay attention.
Well, it's also rude. I mean, you can go to the same restaurant 50 times, know the exact menu front to back. If your server comes, you're still going to look them in the eye. You're still going to say, I'd like this, please. I'd like this. Thank you. This is their job.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I know that there are a lot of frequent flyers. The thing that people need to remember, though, is that just because you're on a 737 doesn't mean it's the exact same kind of 737 that you've flown four other times. There's so many different variants. One thing I always do pay attention to is where are the exits? exits. Yeah. That's what I know every time that I get on a plane. I'm going to know where the exits are, and then I'm going to trust, I will trust the cabin crew because they're trained. That's the number one thing that they're there for. Truly, we spent one day on serving, one day, and the rest of the month was all about safety. 100%.
Wow. One of the best memes I ever saw was a flight attendant said, "The only one paying attention to me during the safety demonstration," and it was a dog who was sitting in the seat and looking at everyone else had their head down or, you know, going through something. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Scott, thanks for clearing that up.
You bet.
John and Tammy, San Diego's Country Station, 103.7 KSON.